I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time, just like Gonzales. We're keeping our guns.
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
You fought all the way, Johnny Red, Johnny Red. You fought all the way, Johnny Red.
Bring it on. If you're tired of being spoon-fed politically correct cowbum every time you turn the radio on, join Colt Reynolds for The Shooting Bench for the most politically incorrect firearms information program on talk radio.
I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
The Shooting Bench, 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 to midnight Eastern, on the Survival Circle.
Lord, he'd call a great victory ball, but he asked the band to play the song, Dixie, for you, Johnny Reb, and all that you believe, cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb.
I want to...
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. Alrighty, Wednesday night, and here we are. Last day of September already. We're 2 weeks away, a little over, yeah, we're right at 2 weeks away from the expo here in Sholo. We will not comply. Arms Expo, restoring America's heritage too, because we've done this once before, and we still need some vendors. So if you guys are wanting to come in here and sell a few guns, trade some guns, sell some any survival related stuff, preparedness things, military surplus, whatever, then this is the place to do it. And we could certainly still use some vendors. We do have some trainers coming, and I think it's going to be a, hopefully it's going to be a good deal here. Who all we got in the chat room? Boy, the chat room's pretty light tonight. Of course, that happens on Wednesday. I don't know, people, I guess they know. First, I better check and see if we have any sound. I don't see much response here. So let's check real quick and see if we've got that going or not. And if not, well, I better see if I can get that fixed. Okay, Yakima Glock says we're in like Flint. So, all right, let's go for it. We have some very important things to talk about when a bunch of the guys get here for the expo. We've got folks coming from southern Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Washington, possibly, well, Idaho for sure, maybe Oregon, California, and it ought to be a fine time here. Wyoming, I think we have one coming from Wyoming. I think Casper Mountain's coming down. So it ought to be a quite a get together. I'm gonna depart from the usual stuff tonight. We've done that like every night this week, kind of getting off on other things. I do have some other stories to take up the slack, but first I want to talk about primitive weapons a little bit. And I've thought, as all of you have, what do we put in there for backups? What do we put in there when there is no longer any ammunition, or we run out of ammunition and can't get to a supply place to get more? What happens when the gun breaks down and you have to find some means to get another gun? Well, we've touched on this just a little bit a long time ago. And for some reason, it didn't really dawn on me. And it hit me like a ton of bricks here a couple of weeks ago. And that is a plain old, everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill rock sling like David killed Goliath with. And, you know, I used them when I was a kid. I used to be pretty good with one. I know how to use them. I know how to make them. And it just never dawned on me until a couple of weeks ago. Like I said, it really slapped me in the face. And so I got to doing a little research and making some different kinds. Matter of fact, I'm going to say, yeah. No, we're talking about weapons that are probably a little newer than the 1911s, yeah. We're talking about primitive weapons. Yeah, not ancient weapons like the 1911. Anyway. I've thought about pellet guns. I've thought about bows and arrows, archery. I've thought about carrying extra guns and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I've thought about a wrist rocket. But the thing about a wrist rocket is you have to have surgical tubing or something that will replace it if something happens. You either have to carry spares with you. What do you do when those run out? They dry rot, they break, they get abraded on rocks and stuff if you drop them. And once they get a little crack or a tear or something in it, it's not long before it pops off there and hits you in the mouth. So we can't be having that. So I do like a wrist rocket. But also, the thing about a wrist rocket is it's really pretty light when you're talking about maybe having to take down a larger animal. Will it, if you hit it right between the eyes? Absolutely. A wrist rocket will kill a man, kill a deer, without you use some good ball bearings or a good, smooth, fairly dense rock in it. And there's no question in my mind, but you can't always make that that headshot with the wrist rocket. But with the sling, that's something that you should always be able to repair or rebuild or make new ones. We'll always be able to. The Peanut Rider, you got me there. You're absolutely right. 1911 makes a whole lot better club than a Glock does. But the thing about the Glock, as long as you have ammunition, it keeps running. You don't need a club. So they've learned that 1911s make good clubs because they've had to use them. Not that they run out of ammunition, just that they quit working. So it's one of those things. Here we go again. Glock and 1911. You can always be able to repair or build slings. They'll always, hell, you can make one out of baling wire if you had to. There's always going to be a piece of denim out there to use for a pocket, a piece of cloth of some kind. You could actually weave a basket with heavy grass and build a little pocket for it. You can cut strips of rawhide off of a deer killed previously, or one that you find laying somewhere. There'll be string and cord, paracord and shoelaces, and hell, you take your regular combat style boots, or just your hunting boots. They've got pretty heavy laces. You can easily make a very effective sling with 3 foot legs on it. As a matter of fact, you can take one shoelace and make the pocket, and take another one and make the legs. A 6 foot boot lace is not long enough to make the pocket and the legs, but you could make the legs out of one and the pocket out of another, and have or you know, the pocket out of denim and one bootlace for the leg. I mean, there's a million different ways to do that. There'll always be stuff to make that. Now, if you look at technically you probably can. Yakima Glock make bows out of lots of things, but it's a little tougher for the average person. Now, some of us that know how to make cordage and stuff can make a decent bowstring. The average guy cannot. You're going to have something with enough power. You know, a 20-pound bow is pretty light for killing a deer. It might do it if you're, you know, 10 yards, 5 yards away or something. But it's a little bit tough to do. Plus, you have a bow is a lot more awkward to carry. If you've got your weapon and still your firearm and still have a few rounds of ammo left, but you want to be ready, then you might not want to have to tote a bow around too, and the arrows. Making the bow is one thing. Making decent arrows is quite another. To make arrows with any type of accuracy and any type of range, you got to kind of be a pretty fart smeller. And you're not just going to go out there and pick up a stick and make an arrow out of it. Maybe one that'll work, 5 feet away, but not one for very far. So I've never really seriously considered a bow. Even a crossbow. Yeah, a crossbow is a great weapon. You can put it out there, not too terribly slow to reload if you get one that doesn't overwhelm you. But they're very bulky. And when you run out of bolts, when you run out of arrows for it, you are finished. You will not be taking a stick and making an arrow for a crossbow. Well, could you? Yeah. Yeah, you can. Of course you can. They did it back in medieval times. Of course they did. But it's not easy, and it's not for the inexperienced. If and like I said, they're bulky, and you got to have the arrows. Now we come back to the sling. The sling, any idiot can make out of a couple of pieces of string and a piece of denim, or weaving the basket out of paracord or whatever. You'll always be able to do that, and you can put it in your shirt pocket. If you've still got ammunition left for your gun and you're trying to, conserve it, maybe you'd want to use your sling for going out and trying when ammunition, you can see that your ammunition is beginning to dwindle a little bit. Maybe you'd want to supplement that with going out and getting small game with a sling from time to time and cut down on ammunition usage. So you could actually sling your rifle or lean it up against a tree, or if you just down to your handgun and use a sling. Take the sling out of your pocket. We'll get into that in a minute. I'll try to remember about the sling and your rifle thing. The B2 Basic, if you can draw a 90-pound bow, I would like to see you draw a 90-pound bow and be able to make an arrow. That's quite an accomplishment, I'll tell you. 90 pounds is definitely not for the average individual out there, for sure. But anyway, I've been thinking about this sling, and you know that they have accurately, back in the old days when they did this a lot, take a golf ball or even a baseball, a tennis ball sized rock, and sling it and accurately hit something, you know, a couple of hundred yards away. Now that sounds a little far out there, but did you know that the record, as far as anybody knows, for a, as they call it, a rock sling or a sling, this is the exact same type of thing that, like I said, that David killed Goliath with. In the Guinness Book of World Record, the distance for an object thrown with a sling stands at 1,565 feet. Let me put that in different terms. That is 477 meters. That is well over 1.5 football fields. Let's see, three. Oh, no, hell no. That's almost 5 football fields. Or it is 5. It's over 5. Right at 5 football fields. So I was thinking 300 yards. And no, there's 100 yards. And so we're looking at, for all intents and purposes, 5 football fields. What's 5 football fields in feet? That would be 5 times 2. It's 1,500 feet. So 1,565 feet. 65 feet more than a football field. So, now what's my computer doing? Whether I still have sound, I guess I do. The computer is going bat spit here for some reason or another. I do not understand why my computer is going crazy. Boy, ain't this weird. Let me check my temperature real quick after I put my new fan in. Make sure that everything is hunky-dory. It is, yeah, temperature's good. Okay, maybe it's just being stupid. Maybe I should have restarted it before the show. Well, hopefully you can still hear me. So, could you accurately hit something at 1,500 yards with a sling? Pretty doubtful. But like shooting the SKS at 1,000 yards or the AK-47 at 1,000 yards, 1,000 meters, which the sights do actually go to on both guns. It's not designed to shoot accurately at that range. It's designed for volley fire. So if you have, 10, 20, 50 guys out there with that type of weapon and they know to use that ladder sight and get it, it's not exactly a ladder sight, but it's close. Put it on 1,000 meters and fire out there towards the advancing enemy, you're going to hit some of them.
Nobody's going to know who hit who or if anybody did. But that's what you could do, the same thing with a sling. If you had four or five guys out there and you knew what your range was and you were able to throw that rock 1,500 feet, you know, 200, 300 yards, chances are pretty good that you'll be able to at least keep their heads down and keep them ducking and looking there. Downsides to the sling, well, it's a little slower to reload. You need a little more room to operate it. Hard to do from concealment. You've got to step out from behind whatever you're doing, make your shot, and get back in. Hope you don't get shot while you're doing it. Definitely a downside. But we're talking about absolute last ditch, last possibility of doing anything. I would rather have a sling and a pocket full of good round, smooth, heavy pebbles. No, not pebbles, rocks. We don't want to sling pebbles, we want to sling rocks. I'd rather have that than be stuck with nothing when the gun breaks down or the ammunition runs out or whatever the case may be. So there's, if you look at the different types of ranges and stuff on slings, there's, you can make pretty effective slings that are only a foot or so with legs on it. They're a foot, you know, 15 inches or something like that, 16 inches. And the upside is they are fast. They're a lot more accurate. Well, they're not. I shouldn't have said fast. They're faster than you can throw a rock, substantially. They're not as fast as some of the longer ones. So, but they're accurate. And depending on the type of pouch that you have on it, the type of pocket, would depend on what type of projectile that you can throw. There's they make some of these slings that are, if I'm not mistaken, I think they made some that were like 15 feet long, and they actually got up on a pedestal, a stand, and they had what they call, what was the guy's it was the equivalent of a loader for a cannon or something. But they had a guy, and he had a name, a title. And you take these 15-foot slings with a good size rock in it, and the loader or the guy, whatever his title is, would get that started swinging underneath it. You'd be on this pedestal, on this little stand, little tower thing, and he would grab that thing, load it, and run around, get it started to go, and then turn it loose, and you take it from there and get it to spinning properly. And I tell you what, a 15-foot leverage there, I'm guessing that you could throw that rock a long, long way. Long ways. And probably a pretty good-sized rock, and probably pretty damn dangerous. All right, B2 Basic, I'm game. I'm hip. Boomerang, yeah, there's another option, Peanut Rider. Trouble is, you hit something, you have to go get it. May be all right for hunting, but not too great for self-defense. So, I've looked at all these different things, and I have, I've just never found anything. There's just too many downsides to just about everything out there, at least over the long haul. So I keep looking at all these different things, and I keep coming back to the sling. You can, like I said, you can put it in your pocket. You can make it out. You can put a dozen of them in your pocket. You know? I guess you could theoretically. I guess you could have the slings laying on the behind your barricade in front of you with a rock laying in the pouch and the legs off to the side, and you could sling one, drop it, and grab another one. I don't know if that'd be any faster or not. That I've never really been in a firefight with a sling, and I hope to goodness I never do. It does not sound like a good, doesn't sound like any fun. So let's see here. Let's look at some of the distances here. In 1982, a guy took a 130 centimeters. What is 130 centimeters? Let's bring up our handy dandy centimeter chart here and see what we got. So we have 130 centimeters. That's 51 inches. So this guy had... here's that guy in here also that had did the 477 meters. Here's another one at 130 centimeters, 51 inches, a little over 4 feet, legs on it, 437 meters. Here's one with 109 centimeters, 88 meters, 177 meters, 148, 196. There's just all manner of different ones here. Some of them using, here's one using lead egg sinkers, like the ones you use for fishing, you know, that look like a pear. Weighted golf balls, egg-shaped stone, foosball, heavy stone, lead gland, softball, throw a softball 95 meters. Guy threw a hardball, 120 meters. Golf balls, 171. Stones, 182. Ice-filled plastic egg, 90 meters. Lots of golf balls, lots of stones. Here's a lacrosse ball at 160 meters in 2005. Lots of records set in 2005 for whatever reason. Maybe it took maybe it just came back, you know, somebody breathed some life in it or something. Here's a 1-inch steel ball, 212 meters. So if we had, let's change this from centimeters. Let's see, inches. So let's do 15 inches. That would be 38 centimeters. Let's see if there's anything on here that is 38 centimeters. There's one that's 76. Fifty centimeters. So that's roughly 18 inches, I think. He still threw a bi-pointed clay projectile, 119 meters. So pretty interesting. So what I was looking at was doing some making some of these slings. I might even make some for the expo. I'm thinking about making some that are 15 inches long, which would be used for 15 or 16 inches. Those would be used for two things. One for the youth, kids who wanted to practice. And one for adults that want something fast and light and not going to get quite the energy and stuff out of it, but something that is very, very accurate. So the shorter deal is a whole lot more accurate to throw than the longer ones are. So let's take a little break here, and we'll come back in just a few minutes, and we'll talk some more about this, because I don't know about you guys, but I've come up with quite a got quite an interest to this for long-term stuff here. So I'll be back in a minute. Yeah, I don't know if I ought to play that one or not. I was going to play a song here, but Oh, what the heck, I didn't write it. It's Hank Williams Jr. And I think he says a couple of words in here that are probably not exactly according to Hoyle, but I don't think they're too bad. Let's check it out and see. If he does, we'll know better than to do it next time, I guess.
The old man was covered with tattoos and scars. He got some in prison and others in bars. The rest he got working on old junk cars in the daytime. They look like tombstones in our yard, and I never seen him when he wasn't tired and mean. He sold used parts to make ends meet, covered with grease from his head to his feet, cussing the sweat and the Texas heat and mosquitoes. And the neighbors said we live like hicks, but they brung their cars for Paul to fix anyhow. He was veteran proud, tried and true. He'd fought till his heart was black and blue. Didn't know how he'd made it through the hard times. He bought our house on a GI Bill, but it wasn't worth all he had to kill to get it. He drank Pearl in a can and Jack Daniels Black, chewed tobacco from a mail pouch sack, had an old dog that was trained to attack sometimes. He'd get drunk and mean as a rattlesnake, and there wasn't too much that he would take from a stranger. There were 13 kids and a bunch of dogs, house full of chickens and a yard full of hogs. Spent the summertime cutting up logs for the winter, trying like the devil to find the Lord. Work your room and board. Coal burning stove, no natural gas. If that ain't country, I'll kiss your ass. That ain't country. Yeah. Oh, here lived the Pope. That ain't country. It's a damn good joke. I've seen the Grand Ole Opry, and I met Johnny Cash. If that ain't country, I'll kiss your ass. Sells eggs at a grocery store. My oldest sister's a first-rate whore. Dad says she can't come home anymore. He means it. Ma just sits and keeps her silent. Sister, she left 'cause Dad got violent, and he knows it. Mama, she's old far beyond her time. She's chopping the back, and I seen her crying. When blood started flowing from her calloused hand, and it hurt me. She'd just keep working, trying to help the old man to the end of one row and back again, like always. She's been through hell since Junior went to jail. When the lights go out, she ain't never failed to get down on her knees and pray because she loves him. Told all the neighbors he was off in the war, fighting for freedom. He's good to the core, and she's proud. Now, our place was a graveyard for automobiles. At the end of the porch, there was four stacks of wheels and tires for sale for a dollar or two, cash. There was 50 holes in the old tin roof. Me and my family was living proof. People who forgot about poor white trash, and if that ain't country, I'll kiss your ass. That ain't country. It'll hurt if the pole. That ain't country. It's a damn good joke. I've seen the Grand Ole Opry, and I've met Johnny Cash. If that ain't country, I'll kiss your ass.
funny ha-ha, funny queer.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All right, let's get back to talking about this. I don't know if anybody else has any interest in this, but I am darn sure interested in it. You know, there's Yakima Glock. You're right. That's another primitive weapon that could be used, a spear or a sword. That would probably, in my opinion, probably be best used when the other guys are armed with spears and swords, too. It's probably going to be a little bit tougher to run up to somebody with an AK-47 and kill them with a spear. But you might be able to, or at least I think you'd have a little better chance of being behind a concealed position somewhere and either standing up or stepping out to the side and sling that thing around one time now and turn the rock loose. Is it ideal? It's sure not. I mean, the whole thought of it to me just sucks. But if that's what we're left with, if that's all we have, we've got to do something. Are you going to stand or not? Whatever you have, spear, sword, bow, rock, knife, fist, or sling, or whatever you might have, then I would suggest that you practice with it and make good use out of it. I wouldn't want to try to just build a sling out of the clear blue at the worst possible time and then try to learn to use it. I'm thinking that's not a great idea. However, I think right now wouldn't be a bad time to learn how to operate that sling or some of these other weapons and see, of course, a lot of us already know how to shoot a bow. Have you ever shot that bow as if someone was advancing on you with a firearm? How fast can you, I don't know if some of you may have been in the chat room here, what was it, a month or two ago, probably 2 months ago, when I posted a video for you of some guy that was absolutely a freak of nature, that could shoot, could jump up in the air and fire three arrows before he hit the ground. Most of us are not going to do that, ever. But we should practice, if you're going to try to use a bow, you should practice loading that as quickly as you can. And a quiver mounted on the bow is not going to be the way to do it. That's a hunting deal. And I don't think that that's going to be the fastest way to do it. The way this guy did it was he had a handful of arrows and had the bow and the arrows in the same hand, and was it's unbelievable. You'll have to look that video up. The guy is absolutely a freak, but what a remarkable guy he was with that bow. Long slide throwing stars. Well, it's fine until you run out. It's kind of like the boomerang stuff. You got to go get them. It depends on how many you can acquire now and how many you can carry, you know, when the time comes. Will they work? Nah, not like they do in the movies. We've seen all these ninja shows where they throw the star and they stick it in a guy's shoulder and he tips over dead. Probably not going to happen just exactly like that. Matter of fact, the only thing you can do with a throwing star is possibly disable somebody if you happen to hit them in a muscle just right, or in the eye or in the throat, you might. But you know, you'd have to. It's something you'd certainly have to practice with. And I don't think that I don't feel like I'd ever get enough effectiveness out of that to make it worth my while to practice, really. Now, if you had stars with 6-inch points on them, now think about this also. I don't know how many of you have tried to kill a man by stabbing him in the chest with a knife. I haven't either. But I have toyed around with the idea a little bit with deer and elk. Just seeing, you know, how hard it was in different places. Yeah, I know, I get it. That the breast is not shaped the same way, and okay, I'm good. But it's a breast. It's a chest. And it's certainly not at all like they make it out in the movies. A guy takes a 4-inch bladed pocket knife and throws it at somebody 15 yards away and stabs him in the heart and he falls over dead. I call bull spit. Not going to happen. Same with the throwing star. If it weighed 2 pounds and had 6-inch points on it, and the other thing is it the points, you'd only be able to have 4 points on there. If you had 5 or 6, as some of those are, the point that's to either side of the one that sticks is going to prevent the one from going deep enough. So, you know, 4 points or 3 is going to be max. It's going to have to be heavy enough that you can get some penetration on it, unless you hit somebody in the temple or in the throat or in the eye. You might get lucky enough to hit the brachial artery if they happen to have their arm just right, and then you can stand around waiting for them to bleed to death, maybe. But Yakima's seen that video of that guy. Yeah, what a remarkable individual he is with a bow. Man, it's crazy. So, making cannon and gunpowder, not terribly hard to do. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of ways that you can make a cannon and make it effective even without gunpowder. You can do a fairly effective cannon at close range with hairspray, propane, acetylene. There's a lot of things that you can do at close range to make it work well enough. Certainly gunpowder would be more effective and be able to control it a little better. But I'm glad to see all these suggestions come up here. There's a lot of neat thing and a lot of things for everybody to think about. And let's go back to the sling for a minute. We were talking about 12-inch, 15-inch sling, good for youth, good for somebody. I think those would be much better for fighting. Because if it's only 12 or 15 inches long, slinging it over your head round and round and round and round is not going to make it any more effective. It's not going to do anything. So with a short sling like, or even a long one as far as that goes. Now, let's take this a step at a time. Let's take the 12 or 15 inch one. The fastest, most accurate way to do it is to throw it overhand. Sling it overhand just like you were throwing a baseball. You're going to grab the pouch with your non-throwing hand. Most of us, well, it'll be the left hand. And hold it out in front of you. And start swinging the throwing hand to the rear. And when you get overhead at some point, now this is where you're going to have to learn to where that release is at, and it's going to be pretty much as your hand comes and points towards the target, not unlike throwing a ball. Yakima Glock and Hog would be better. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I just haven't had, I don't know how much better it would be. The breast is still shaped about the same way, but it would, any animal about that size would work. So the guy with the 15-foot sling that we talked about a while ago, you can't do that in one sling. You just can't. It's impossible. Maybe I should be careful using that word impossible, because I know somebody will get there. I did it. I found a way. Okay, well, great. For the average person, it's most unlikely that that's going to work. You're going to have to swing it probably 4 or 5 times to get the full momentum out of that long sling that you really need. With the 12-inch, 15-inch, 16-inch, you're going to swing it one time and release it. That would be pretty fast. If you had a pouch on your side with some smooth rocks in it, you know, if you only had one or two guys, maybe three guys out there that you were contending with, maybe you could, you know, with some practice, you could probably be pretty, effective with it. Once it gets a little longer, there comes a point there where you can't do it overhead very easy because you can't get a full swing on it. You know what I mean? You'll run into the ground as you're going around with it. So at some point there, depending on how tall you are and how long your arms are, and there comes a point where you have to limit the length of the legs on that sling so you don't run into the ground. So you think about that. You take your average for a general purpose sling is probably about 24 inches, 24 to 30 inches. Then you got to look at the size of your pouch. For a 24-inch sling, you're probably only not going to be throwing anything any bigger than, probably much bigger than a golf ball. Can you throw something bigger? Yes, you can. You certainly can, depending on the pouch that you make. Now, you may want to start out with using something soft, or at least going out in the woods somewhere where you can't, because there is no telling where it's going to release when you're first learning. You can very easily let it go right directly behind you and throw it through the windshield of your truck. So get somewhere where you've got a good safe backstop every direction, and work on getting your presentation right. You know, and you want to find some tennis balls, those bright green ones or orange ones that you can find real easy, and get that release down where you're throwing it the right way. Once you get that, then you can go into something a little heavier. With a 15-inch sling, something about the size, you know, not a regular marble. Now, a ball bearing the size of a regular marble throws pretty good, depending on the size of your pouch. A marble is just so light, it doesn't work good. Same reason it doesn't work good in a wrist rocket. It's accurate, and it works pretty well. I won't say it doesn't work good. I'll say it doesn't work as well as a ball bearing in a wrist rocket. It's a steel ball or a lead ball because it's just too light. But at close range and for cheap practice, they work great. probably a max. You remember the marbles, they used to call them boulders? I don't know what they still do. You had regular size marble, and then you had the boulder that you went out there and bust up the game with. You know, those are perfect for that 15-inch sling, or that size is perfect for a 15-inch sling. And like I said, fast, you're talking about self-defense, recreation, just learning, limited room, doing it from a someplace where you don't have good swinging room. The 12-inch, 15-inch sling is great for that. Average, 24 to 30-inch, you should be able to throw very effectively baseball, tennis ball to baseball size rocks. Can you throw bigger? Absolutely. But there comes a point where you don't have the leverage, the momentum there to throw something bigger and heavier. So, a rock about the size, somewhere between a golf ball and a racquet ball, handball size, works really well with those slings. Also depends on what you're hunting or what you're trying to do with it. If you're just out throwing it, just target practicing, then use rocks. And believe it or not, we throw rocks. We pick up a rock and throw it. Is it as accurate as a baseball? Probably not. But we pick up any size rock, any weight, any shape, and it works pretty well. Well, same thing with the sling. At close range, you know, you don't have the centrifugal, you don't have the spin on it that you do a bullet. If you have an odd-shaped bullet or one with a messed-up point or a messed-up base, and it's spinning like that, then it's no telling where it's going to go. This doesn't have that centrifugal force on it, so you know you can throw an odd-shaped rock pretty well. Ideally, of course, you'd want an oval or round, as close to round rock as you can. That's pretty smooth. The smoother it is, the more aerodynamic it is, farther you can throw it. You know, some pretty simple physics there. Kind of like the bullet. If you have a bullet that's shaped like that has the texture of a sponge, it's not going to go too good. If it has the texture of glass, then it goes much better. So, now if you want to get something that's effective for hunting anything up to and including big game, white-tailed deer, probably mule deer, possibly elk, certainly coyote-sized game, you probably want at least 3-foot legs on it, and maybe 4. There comes a time there when you really have to practice with those longer-legged slings, but certainly you can do it if you want to take the time to do it. It's great recreation. It's good sport to get out, get out away from the trucks and the buildings and the grandkids and all that stuff, and just put on a competition. Everything that we do, as much as we love it, everything doesn't have to go bang. I know that comes as quite a shock for some of you to hear me say that, but there's other things to do that can be practiced and be useful later on. And the sling is one of those things. It's wonderful. You don't have to have a backstop. You can do it in town. Well, I say you don't have to have a backstop. Depends on where you're at. If you're in town, certainly you have to be careful with that. And I'll guarantee you one thing. With a little bit of practice, you can take a golf ball size, one of them, say a 1-inch ball bearing. And I'm going to promise you for a damn fact, you can take some of these older trailer houses and throw a 1-inch ball bearing all the way through that trailer house, one side to the other, come out the other side going towards the other person's yard. Now, unless it hits the refrigerator or the couch or something, it'll go all the way through that trailer house. Modern trailer houses might be a little tougher. Modern, they don't call them trailer houses anymore. They're mobile homes. Modular homes. Okay. Different siding, different everything. But you take some of them older trailer houses with 2x2 studs in them, 2-inch walls and everything. Yes, ma'am, I'll promise you can throw a 1-inch steel bearing through both sides of a trailer house. They're not toys, folks. I promise you, they're fun to play with, but they're not toys. They will kill a man deader than hell if you go out there and get stupid and start playing around. You know, everybody's always messed around with BB guns. A few people have lost eyes. You shoot somebody in the butt with a BB gun and you get your butt whooped and stuff. You start messing around with a sling and do that, you will kill somebody. You'll break an arm. They're not to be taken lightly. They can dang sure do it. And see, there you go, Longside. If bang bang is frowned on in your town, then why not go out to a park or a field or a vacant lot somewhere nearby and practice with the sling? I think that it is a wonderful skill because it's something, and I'm going to say this again, it's something that you can rebuild or build from scratch. You can make short ones, medium ones, long ones. You can make them for recreation. You can make them faster. You can make them more accurate. You can do a million different things with them out of stuff that you can find out in fields sometimes. And I realize that we have all these other suggestions, and none of them are bad because they'll all work at different times. But I'm talking about having something that is, perpetual, I guess, where you can always keep it running. I don't know if perpetual is the right word, but I'm going to use it anyway. It's my show. I'll say it if I want to. So it's something that you can always find ammo for. You can always, unless you're out in the middle of, Lawrence of Arabia out there where was that horse that run the race out there? out in the middle of that desert, maybe there's not any rocks. Throwing a bag full of sand probably won't work too good. I tell you what does work, though. If your pouch is designed correctly, you can take 4 or 5 or 6, maybe 10 lead balls, or, you know, 3 marbles, some double-aught buckshot, you know, 3 or 4 ball bearings, and make a shotgun-style sling out of it. And if you had 3, 4, or 5 guys out there, and that's all you had, and all of you had 5 or 6 balls in the sling, buddy, I can't imagine that people are going to continue to advance in the face of something like that. You may not keep them down as long as you would if you were shooting at them, but it'll work. Also, flying birds. You step up over the dam, and there goes a duck. I have no doubt in my mind that there are people that could take that duck out of the air with a sling. I am not one of them. If you put, you know, half a dozen ball bearings in a rather larger pouch, I think you got a pretty good chance of knocking him down. Running rabbits, the grouse taking off. I think those are all strong possibilities if you practice. I'll tell you something else that makes a great ammo for that. Now, this is what I used to use in wrist rockets. And that was, the round balls are best, of course. But I use some of those, they call them, they're cylindrical shapes. Some people call them needle bearings or whatever. Maybe 3/8 of an inch in diameter and 3/4 of an inch long, somewhere in that area. I'll have you know that a cylindrical shaped bearing in a wrist rocket is the equivalent of a hollow point in a rifle. I have hit birds and squirrels and prairie dogs and stuff with a wrist rocket with one of those, because they're going end over end. You can hear them flying down range. And if you hit a small animal with that thing, son, let me explain to you the blood and gore that comes out of that thing. It will damn sure open them up. I would not want to be on the receiving end of that. A ball bearing would be bad enough, and it'll kill you dead if it hits you between the eyes. But that spinning cylindrical shaped needle bearing will get meat. It will definitely make a mark. Hopefully, DeTinker, I've got the archive for this. I'm always on Wednesday night. Yeah. That's Peanut Rider. That's interesting. The man knocked unconscious with a ball bearing shooting me in the back. I'll tell you guys that wrist rocket is like the sling. It is not a toy. You can hurt somebody very, very badly with those things. So I'm thinking about doing, if I have the time, I don't know if I'm going to have time, because I need to devote some time into getting some vendors into this cotton picking expo. I don't know. I'm a little bit worried about finding enough vendors for this. Matter of fact, the lady that we're getting the building from is a little bit worried about this, if we're going to be able to take care of all of our bills and stuff. So I am concerned about that. I would love to take the 3 days and visit with 3 or 4 or 5 days or whatever it's going to be, visit with all the folks coming down here, but the folks coming down here have to be able to afford to get back. So that's what my primary deal is going to be here over the next 2 weeks. Hopefully Amy will be where she can build some of these things. But I'm going to make some 15-inch ones or thereabouts, and some probably 24 to 28-inch, and some probably somewhere between 36 and 42 inch. I was out there messing around tonight with one that is about 40 inches. And good Lord, man, that thing will throw a damn rock now. It will sling it way out yonder, a whole lot farther than I can throw one by hand, whole lot farther. Now, I'm not nearly as accurate as I used to be back in the day when I was practicing. My dad showed me how to make these things when I was a kid. And they, well, what he, back those days, you know, we're so used to now just going down and buying the things that we need, and we get this pretty paracord, and we get these pretty strings to make stuff, and all that, and we feel like everything needs to be manufactured for some reason. Well, we made it out of balen twine. Back when the balen twine was kind of a manila-type yellow stuff, some of you have seen it and know what I'm talking about. It's not like the polyethylene or the plastic strings that they have nowadays. Not that they won't work. They'll work fine. And what we did was we'd take... we always had a pair of old boots or shoes around there or something. And if you take a pair of hunting boots, I'll tell you what works really, really good for that pocket is cut the tongue out of a pair of hunting boots. That works great. If you can't got the tongue out of it, then you can cut cut a slice out of the side of the boot or something, and it works fine. And do that with just poke a hole in each side of the leather, make the leather pouch about probably 1.5 inches, 2 inches wide, and 4 inches long. That gives you a pretty good all-around pouch to be able to do just about anything you want to do with it for general purpose stuff. And on the one end, you tie a loop in it so that you can slip it over your middle finger, and you want to go back to the middle joint, to your middle knuckle. And then you want to tie a single small knot in the very, very tip of the other end, and you put that middle finger in that loop. Grab a hold of the string is going to be heading out away from you. Okay, you want to turn the loop to where the string is on the knot is on top of your knuckle outside. Alright. Then you with your thumb and forefinger, you hold that little knot. And then whichever way you decide to deliver it, whether it's side to side, swinging around and around, or overhead or whatever, you hold what keeps you from turning it loose is the loop on the one. And you turn loose that little knot and allow it to fly. So a whole lot easier said than done. But for those of you that are coming down in 2 weeks, and we'll have a little time, we'll make some time to get out and do stuff like that. I'm sure not everybody's going to take off and head home immediately Sunday evening after the show. So and we'll have time to do things out there. And maybe we'll get together and play with those a little bit and see if we can do something with them. But I'm planning on, if I have the time, I'm going to try to make 3 different models, I guess you'd call them, of slings, small, medium, large. And I'll call them something real clever and tactical, like the Deluxe Hunter and the general purpose, and the compact something another for the little one. I don't know. I'll think of something. But the cooler the name is, the more money I'll be able to charge for them. So that's I'm going to think about that name quite a bit. These are going to be made all out of paracord. And, long slide. We'll have to make a little time for that. Absolutely. Go out and bust a few jackrabbits. Yeah, I'm down for that. Absolutely. Okay, well, we've come to the end of our deal here. Hang on just a minute. I hate it when a sneeze creeps up on me like that. Woo! That one was scary. Okay, there's... We could get into more technique and stuff. Like that. I'm not an expert at this. I used to be pretty good. But that was some time ago. But I plan on rectifying that. I plan on working on getting that a little better with some of these other primitive weapons, so that I'm not completely out of luck, you know, with if everything doesn't go according to Hoyle there. So, with all that being said, I think I'm going to ease on out of here. Go see what my loving wife is doing. And she's been awful sore. She told you, like yesterday, she said she's got a something wrong in her shoulder that's really messing her up. So I got to go check on her and see if I can do anything for her. And we'll see you all tomorrow evening. All right, good night.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.